Well, in her neighborhood, an elderly woman was well known for her faith and for her boldly speaking about her faith. Each morning, she'd step out on her front porch and she would say, "Praise the Lord! Thank you, God, for another wonderful day." Well, next door to this woman lived a man who didn't believe in God, and he got quite angry about her daily praises and her prayers. And he would start to bark back at her and saying, "There ain't no Lord! There ain't no God!" And she wasn't fazed by it at all. She kept on praising the Lord and giving her prayers to the Lord, and he kept on barking back. Back and forth they went until one day the woman fell upon some hard times. And she walked out onto the porch and she said, "Praise the Lord! Lord, faithful you have always been, and I know faithful you will always be to me. But right now I'm hurting, and I need some food." She finished praying, walked back into her house, came out the next morning onto her front porch to find a sack of groceries overflowing, and she said, "Praise the Lord!" And the gentleman from next door stepped out from the side of the house and said, "I told you there ain't no Lord. God didn't buy you those groceries. I did." And she said, "Praise the Lord! God not only sent me these groceries, but he made the devil pay for them." And so we're reminded this Thanksgiving, whoever you were able to gather with this past Thursday, you're reminded of the goodness of God and all of the things that we often take for granted that he provides for us. Just very simply a place to call home, good food, a warm bed, nice clothes, the love of family, the companionship of close friends, our health, our jobs, money in our pockets, the beauty of God's sun and moon and stars, the magnificence of his oceans and mountains and lakes and rivers, and on the list goes. So this morning, I want us to take just a few minutes to think about thanks, or maybe for some of us, rethink thanks. And I want us to do it by looking at one verse in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. So if you have your Bible or your Bible app, 1 Corinthians 4, 7, while you're turning there, a little humorous story from this Thanksgiving that I just experienced. Karen, my wife, and my daughter Hannah, they always do a great job of gathering groceries and then making the Thanksgiving meal. This past Thursday was no exception. And one thing Karen did differently was she made a soup. I'd never had it before. It was delicious. It was so good. And I said, "Karen, thank you. This soup is wonderful." She said, "Well, of course you're welcome, but you probably won't be so happy when you find out how expensive it was." I said, "Oh, why was the soup so expensive?" And she said, "Well, it was made with 24 carrots. Okay, some people said with the virus times, we need a little levity. Other people said, stay in your lane. I get it. Okay. So anyway, I was going to say I can quit, but I'd have to do it cold turkey. Yeah, exactly. All right, you found the verse? I gave you plenty of time. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. The questions are these. What do you have that you did not receive? And since you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Father, thank you today for these few minutes we gather together to remind our hearts and our minds of your total goodness to us. You are 100% for us. We just shared in song about Emmanuel, God with us. Remind us today of how you've blessed us. Our portion and our cup of blessing overflows. We have it so good. Help us to think of thanks today. Teach us, we pray from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Eugene Peterson, in his Bible paraphrase called The Message, he asks the question this way. He says, isn't everything you have and everything you are a sheer gift from God? And of course, we know that this letter was written by Paul to the people of the church of Corinth because the context is this. There's people in the church that are kind of showing preference to one leader as opposed to the other, and it's causing some division. And so what he's saying to believers is, look, here's the way we're the same, and here's the way we're different. Paul has a unique gift mix as opposed to Apollos, another one of his co-workers, who, by the way, was also a convert to Christianity from Judaism. And then there's Cephas, Peter, and he has a different mix of gifts. And so the people in the church were causing these gifts to be an opportunity to divide the church. And Paul, in earlier part of the letter, said, no, Christ is not divided, and neither should we be. we don't elevate personalities, we elevate Jesus. And so he goes on to say in verse 6, if you have your Bible open or your app open, he says, "Now, brothers, I've applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, 'Do not go beyond what is written,' or 'Do not go outside the bounds of Scripture.'" And then he says, "Then you will not take pride in one man over against another," or "then you will not be puffed up in following one of us over the other." Then he says in verse 7, "For who makes you different from anyone else? And what do you have that you've not first received? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not?" And so he's saying to believers then, and he's saying to us today, here's the way we're different. We have different appearance. We have different temperament. We have different set of skills. We have different abilities given to us all by God, and for which none of us should take credit. And then he says, here's the way we're the same. We've received all of this from God, every bit of it. Who we are and what we have, it's all from the Lord. So he writes these verses and he shares with them and he asks these two questions. Did God give you everything you are, your very humanity, your very existence, and everything you have, your possessions? And if he did, why would you continually fail to recognize that? Or why would you somehow think it's okay to take credit for that? And so Paul asks, if we've received all this from God, why do we boast? What he means is, why do we continue to live as though it's just stuff for us? He uses the word if, that second part of verse 7. He says, if you've received these things from God. Now hear me. The translation of this word if is actually since or on account of. You read it this way. Since everything you have and everything you are, you've received from God. Or on account of everything you are and everything you have is from God. The same word was used in Matthew 4:3 when Jesus was tempted by Satan in the desert after fasting 40 days and 40 nights. Satan, using the occasion of Christ's hunger, would say to him, "If you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread with which you may eat." Well, you know, Satan wasn't saying, "If by chance you're the Son of God." Satan knew who Jesus was. The Bible says the devils believe and tremble. So what he was saying was, on account of you're the Son of God, go ahead and turn these stones into bread. Well, Paul's saying, on account of God's given you everything you have and everything you are, don't live a life of boast, or don't live a life lacking gratitude or thanksgiving. He used this verse and he used these questions to remind us to think about thanks. And in this one verse, there's an outline. It's hard to imagine that one verse has an outline, but it does. And there's three words in this outline. The first word is possession. What do you have? The second word is reception, that you did not first receive. And the third word is reaction. Since you did receive it, why boast? Or why do you live as though you did not receive it? So let's just take this three-word outline from one verse to remind us today to think about thanks. Possession, first question, what do I have? Well, you and I have our very existence, right? Our very being. We have our life, health, and strength. The Bible says in Genesis 1:27, God created mankind in his own image. Male and female, he created them. The psalmist says in Psalm 100, verse 3, it is he, God, who has made us and not we ourselves. And then John the Revelator says in Revelation 4:11, O God, you have created all things, and for your glory and by your will they were created and have their being. Now, friends, let's just take a step back and be reminded that we are human beings. We have our very existence from God alone. We owe everything we are and have to him. This is why as believers we're very much pro-life, because we trace the source and the sanctity of all human life back to God. He gave life. It's a gift. It's precious. We have our very being from God. Second, possession. What do you and I have? Well, we have by God's grace certain abilities, certain skills, certain temperament and personality and appearance that allows us to make a living for our families and make a difference in the world. If you think about it, some of the most productive and satisfied people in this world are the ones that are using their abilities and their giftedness. They know the lane they walk and live in, and they live with those abilities, and God's given them great satisfaction in that. Since you've received everything from God, what he's saying is this morning, let's think about thanks. What do you and I have? We have our very lives. What do you and I have? We have a unique set of gifts and abilities that God's given us to make a living for our families and make a difference in this world. You know, Paul and Apollos and Cephas, they were all converted by the Spirit of God, just as you and I were. And when they were converted, they were given gifts, a singular gift or singular or a plural gifts. They were given giftedness, talents, abilities. Now, none was any better than the other. They were just different. And that's us. None of us is better than the other. And none of us should allow within our family dynamic our differences to cause division. We should not elevate personality. We should elevate Jesus. And the more we speak about Jesus and his good gifts to us, the more we understand where we live our life within our giftedness. That's it. That's us. Here's what Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 8. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. God gave you your giftedness, and in our pride, we can, men especially, we can tend to dispute this. I'm a self-made man. I've done everything on my own. No one gave me a handout or a leg up. I've built this from the ground up. All of these sayings that pass right by the fact that God not only gave you your very existence, but he gave you your skills and abilities so that you might prosper in this life for your family and make a difference in the world. Your greatest joy is going to come, all of you, from discovering and developing your giftedness. But remember, God gave you the giftedness. Yes, you should work on it. Yes, you should develop it. Yes, your education and training helped that. But where did the gift by itself come from? It came from God. What do you and I have? We have our very being. We have our skills and abilities. We have our lot in this life. Look again what Moses says in Deuteronomy. In this next verse, he says these words. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God. What do you have in this life? You have your lot in life. Now, some of you don't look at your lot very favorably. Sometimes you look at your lot in life and you compare to those in your similar age range or maybe someone within your own family in the same grouping and you're just not satisfied. I want to remind you of something that we read in the book of Psalms, and it's found in Psalm 16 and verse 5. And here's what the verse says. Lord, you have assigned me, or really it means you have already, by your sovereign act, you have already assigned me. I love the personalization. You've assigned me my portion and my cup. My portion and my cup of blessing. Yours and mine is overflowing. It comes to us from God. You have made my lot secure. In the present life you live, he guards everything that you have. He provides and then he guards it. And then look, surely now and surely in the future, I have a delightful inheritance. We have it so good. Our lot in life is so good, and we ought to reflect on God's goodness all the time, because God is saying to us, I gave this to you, again, not for your glory and your gain, but for my glory. So with your skills and abilities, with your life and energy, with your passions, with your discovering and developing your giftedness, give thanks to God and what he's doing for you and your family and the world you live in through your giftedness. Give him thanks. Give him glory. Think about thanks. Rejoice always in Jesus who gives you these great things. Well, what do we have in life? Jeremiah says this. Jeremiah says, the Lord says, let not the rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me. Now think about that. Can you say that this morning? I understand who the Lord is. and I understand that I know him. Possession, what do you have? Well, I have my lot in this life, but you know what? By God's grace, I have my lot in the next life. You say, now what are you saying? I'm talking about rescue. I'm talking about salvation. I'm talking about redemption. I'm talking about deliverance. I'm talking about God's sovereign act of grace when he allowed me to come to know Christ and my future was secured. Now, let me say this. He secures our future in Christ. If you're not in Christ, then that future is insecure. If you're in Christ, he has secured it. For me, I have my lot in the next life. I'm not bragging. God came to me as an 18-year-old young man, first year in college, and said, this is you. You need this. You need to recognize who I am. I came to know Jesus. So my lot was secured in the next life because I came to know Christ. Again, none of that was any of my doing. I take credit for none of that. None of that was because of my wisdom or wit or my understanding of how to figure it all out. It was simply God's great act of love and kindness in my life. And what he's saying is these gates of pearl, these streets of gold, these walls of jasper, diamond, and precious stones, these mansions, these all your kinfolk who've died in Jesus, all the saints of all the ages, the face of Jesus, all of this awaits you. All of this awaits you because of God's kindness and his loving kindness. And all of this awaits you if you're in Christ. And you can be. And today we're recognizing that we can have a secure lot in life. A wonderful inheritance awaits us. What do we have that we did not first receive? And if we did receive it, why do we boast as though we did not? We've earned nothing. We've been snatched from destruction by the grace of God. I was taught early on in my Christian life, in my early 20s, that when I read a verse, I ought to put my name in there and personalize it. And it made sense to me, especially Romans 3:23. The Bible says, for all have sinned. I put my name in there, for Brad East has sinned. And then Romans 6:23 says, and the wages or the payment due for Brad East's sin is death. Thanatos is called being separated or not connected to God. For the wages of Brad East's sin is to be separated from God's love. And then I think about the last part of that verse. But the gift, the free gift of God, is forever life in Christ Jesus. So if Brad East, a sinner, whose sins deserve to be judged by God and be separated from God, that judgment was paid by Jesus on the cross. So John 3:16, for God so loved Brad East that he gave his one and only son, Jesus, that if Brad East were to believe upon Jesus, not believe about Jesus, but believe upon Jesus, pull his full weight and trust in Jesus Christ, Brad East would not perish, there's the destruction, but he would have forever life. For God did not send Jesus into this world to condemn Brad East, but that Brad East might be saved through Jesus. Do you see where you are today? Do you understand and know this? Who is the Lord? Is he your Savior? Is he your Redeemer? Is he the one upon your waiting for rescue? He's the only rescuer. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for your rescue. Thank you for securing our place in eternity. Well, you know, the questions that Paul asked are kind of what they call rhetorical questions, a big fancy word for he's not looking for an answer. He's looking to make a point. And the point is this: we ought not be proud or prideful about anything, because everything we have and everything we are is from God. I'm reminded of this story. A woman in a church came to the pastor's secretary and said, can I make an appointment to see the pastor? And she said, what's it concerning? And she told her, I'm having trouble with a sin that's having victory over me, and I'm having no victory over it. So she came to the time of the appointment, and she said to the pastor, this is really troubling me. I walk into the church, and I look around at all the other women, and I just think I'm the prettiest one in the whole bunch. I don't think there's anyone in the church that compares to my beauty. She said, how do I get over this sin? And the pastor said, Mary, what you're describing is not sin. What you're describing is a fairy tale. It's just a fake. It's just not even real. You're way off. Listen, That's what pride does to all of us. Makes us unreal, artificial, phony. If we want to be real and relatable, we need to go back to the start of our life, God. And we need to look in to the present life, God. And we need to be thankful for the future life, God. We're much more poised to be relatable, real, and secure people when we're giving thanks to God for it all. One word today in our outline, possession. What do you have? The second word is reception, that you did not receive. I don't know about you, but I like receiving gifts when they're well-intentioned. People give them out of love and joy and receive them in kind. But I remember when our children were much younger. They were, all three of our children were very young. And Karen and I would load up the van, and we would put all the Christmas gifts in the van, and we would put all of our luggage in the van. And over the hills and through the woods to grandmother's house we would go. And we drove to Jackson, Michigan, which is south central Michigan, up between Kalamazoo and Ann Arbor, or Chicago and Detroit, however you want to look at it, right there in the south central part of the state. The kids were so excited to get up there. Not only did we always pretty much have snow, but also they had a great time unloading all their gifts and throwing them around the tree because their cousins had already done that. And take a look kind of what it looked like. So they walked in there, all these cousins and all these of our kids, all the adults, uncles, aunts, they all threw their presents in a pile. And of course, what was fun was the kids would go to this big mix of gifts, and they would pull out theirs, and they would stack them in a stack. And then they'd get the go-ahead, which is, ready, go, and then kind of look like this. So they would just tear through their gifts and unwrap and go through their gifts, and all they could think about was, what's next, and what am I getting next, and isn't it interesting? Those curious little young minds, they never gave a thought to giving thanks. So the parents would coach them, right? Who gave you that gift? What do you say? You know, think about it. We're grown-ups. We're adults. But I think we've got an issue the way those little kids did. We're so excited for our gifts, our stack of gifts, our cup of blessing, our portion, that we rip them open and use them over and over again, every day at work, every week at work, every month at work, every year. And we use them regularly, and we don't even think about slowing down and thinking about thanks. Sometimes as grown-ups, we need to be coached. Who gave you those gifts? What do you say? And that's what this message today is about. Think about thanks. What do you have that you've not first received? And if you did receive, why live a life of boast as though you did not? Oh God, thank you for reminding us about our possessions. And thank you for reminding us about receiving our portion and our cup. Giving thanks, it shouldn't be the last thing on your mind. Remember, as you go through life, your gifts are from Him. First action word, the first outline word, possession. What do you have? Well, I have my very life. I have my skills and abilities. I have my portion and my cup of blessing. I have my lot in this life, and I have my lot in the next life. Reception, that you did not first receive. I admit, God, and I don't struggle with this. I don't cough on the words, or I don't stumble over the words, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm a little bit like that woman. I may not step out on my front porch every day and say, praise the Lord, thank you, God, for this wonderful day. But in my heart, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm not ashamed to say it, and neither are you. The third outline word is reaction. Possession, what do you have? Reception, that you've already received. And then thirdly, if you'd received it, why do you act as though you did not? So here's what I want us to do as we turn the corner on this message. Just pause for a minute. Let me ask these questions and you answer them as you will honestly. What has been your reaction to receiving your portion and your cup of blessings? Is it gratitude and thanksgiving or not? Do you owe your very existence to God or not? Did God give you your skills and abilities and attributes or not? Does your success, your lot in life, have anything to do with God or not? Does your lot in the next life have anything to do with God or not? And do you regularly think about thanks or not? In John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, the Bible says Jesus came into his own people, the Jewish people, and his own people received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name. Now, Jesus had not come the first time to reign and rule over people. He'll do that one day, but not this time. This time he came to give his life, to die, to provide a way for those who would accept and receive him to have eternal life. Jesus came that we might have life and have it to the full. The most important decision any of us will ever make is concerning Jesus. Remember what the Lord said to the prophet Jeremiah? He said, "He who boasts should boast in this, that he understands and knows me." The most important thing we'll ever do in giving thanks is to give our life back to God. You know what redemption is? It's buying back at a price. He redeemed us. Thank you, Jesus, that you took my sin and my judgment on yourself. You paid a price that you didn't owe, and I get life in you. Jesus, thank you.